So the Haven is a 4-bay facility. We have a full bar, limited food menu, pizza, pretzels, sort of munchies for when you're playing golf. We opened December of 21, so this is our fifth winter. And we use Foresight technology, which I think is key. A lot of competitors out there, other folks using different types of technology, but I like to tell people the good news about our technology is twofold. The good news is it's accurate. The bad news is it's accurate. Right? So sorry, let me turn that off.
So what inspired you to open an indoor golf facility? What's your background with golf? Have you played it your entire life, or what got you here?
Yeah, good question. So, avid golfer, did not play my entire life. Got cut from my high school golf team. Really picked it up after my kids were born. Started golfing probably right around the year 2000, and just got bit hook, line, and sinker by the golf club. So. No background in retail. Was a corporate finance guy when I was in the corporate world. Got caught sideways in a corporate downsizing right around COVID time, and wanted to try to do something a little different, so decided to pivot and open the Haven. I grew up in Palos Heights. I live in the Orland area now, so the facility was an old independent drugstore that I used to go to when I was a kid. And so it was sort of fun going back and being in the town I grew up in and making a connection there.
So you were familiar with the space itself. Then let's talk about the design of the facility. What went into that? What was that process like?
The short answer would be excruciating, but it was a pretty long, drawn-out process. Worked with a local architect, came up with, three or four different plans, tried to get as many bays in there as we could. The, local requirements were if you're going to have a liquor license, you have to serve food. So that meant we had to have a kitchen and, sort of going through based on the square footage, how big the bathrooms had to be, all that stuff that I had no, background. And the architect certainly knew all the ins and outs. So we ended up, coming up on our design that we went with, which was, fourth or fifth rendition. So.
So, are there any decisions then, looking back on it 5 years later, any decisions that you made that have paid off, whether it's for the business side or from the customer experience side?
Yeah, definitely. So I think going with the technology that we did. Literally had some guys in on Monday of this week. It was their first time in the facility. They played for 4 hours and they're like, hands down, you have the best technology in the area. Right. And so generally, and I, evolved. I've learned the space from when we opened, but I sort of put golf simulators in two general categories. They're either entertainment or they're geared towards the golfer. And I think the experience has been people appreciate the better technology, the real data, not just some video game.
So then it kind of leads me down a different path. Let's talk about from your perspective to the 109, I think we have 110 golf simulators in the Chicagoland area, at least on the list that we have.
Yep.
Speaking to those folks, leave out the bigger ex-golf or whatever, but speaking to more of the folks, could be at courses, could be standalone. What are some of the things that you've learned in these 5 years that are essential to operating a successful simulator business?
Yeah, so great question. I think try to do as many things and replicate as many things you do on a real golf course. You know, try to make it as realistic for my leagues, for example. I do a weekly two closest to the pin contest each week. For our lead guys, you know, one on the front nine, one on the back nine. I run a skins game. You know, I try to keep it very similar to what you would experience in the warmer months here in the Chicago area when you're outside. I try to come up with new ideas that one will obviously bring people in, but keep them coming back. And whether it's, you know, quite honestly, it's copying what's popular. Last summer or last winter, we had you know, DeChambeau was trying to hit the ball over his house, you know, into the thing. And we had a you know, a version of something like that that we could play on the sim, right? And guys would come in and, you know, let's say, you know, they booked 2 or 3 hours, they had 15, 20 minutes left after they finished their round. I'd set them up on that and they'd have a blast. You know, a lot of times I'd be like, hey, you got another hour. We want to continue doing this. We're going to do this again for another kind of a thing. I did also another DeChambeau thing. We did the Break 50 challenge. I sort of modified it. I did a three person play from the red tees and, you know, entry fee. And then the first team that, you know, breaks 50 wins the pot kind of a thing. So always trying to come up with something a little different. We have sort of an ongoing hole in one challenge that, again, if there's free time on the bay, you want to, you know, try your skill, luck, whatever it is you want to call it. You got a chance to win some prizes and different things.
So your facility is located in Payless. There's a smattering of other simulator businesses in the area. How do you look at it in terms of acquiring new customers, whether it's for leagues or whether it's for people that go, on a, hopefully a consistent basis? When you're trying to market your business, are you trying to reach the entire South Side? Is do you find that there's a sort of a limit as far as how far people will drive to come to your facility?
Yes and no. I would say probably the majority of my customers are within, you know, 20, 30 minutes at the outer edge. Always trying to find new customers. Even this is my fifth winter, like I said, and I'll still have customers come in and like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you were here, kind of a deal. So, you know, I've tried the direct mail. I've tried, you know, Facebook, Google, you know, direct marketing, you know, a lot of different things that try to expand the reach, you know, of the Haven footprint, whether it be, you know, physically or digitally, so to speak.
So then, from your perspective, talking to other business owners, which I'm sure you probably are somewhat familiar with other people who own simulator businesses, what are common mistakes that you see new simulator business owners make? What are things that you see and like, oh, avoid that?
So the first thing, and it's not like a very specific don't do, but so many people think that if you just you know, if you build it, they will come kind of mentality. And that's not the case. And I would say the biggest misconception, I want to say mistake, but misconception would be thinking you could do this as a side hustle, right? It's a lot of work. It's a grind, especially during the winter months here. Like when we first opened, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week, open to close, trying to figure out the best process. I had to figure out before I could train someone, right? So that's what I would think would be the biggest misconception is, hey, let me throw one of these together. The other thing would be probably the size. There were times I'd love to have, five or six bays, right? But the flip side of that is, in the summer months, I still have to pay my rent, and the summer months are pretty slow. So, Walter, to your comment earlier, through a Facebook group, there's a group of golf simulator business owners, and I actually do one of these Zoom calls once a month with folks from all over the country that dial in and just share ideas. We used to bounce questions off each other on various posts, and I'm like, hey, who would be interested in doing a call? And we literally will get 30 to 40 people from all over the country dialing in every month. So one of the guys on the call has a really valid point. If you want to open a restaurant, you could Google it. You could probably go to the bookstore, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of books on how to open a restaurant. How to open and set up a golf simulator business, there's probably none, right? And so the whole idea is, I've had people call me, hey, what do you think about this idea, kind of a thing. Just share our experience.
So that's actually such a great point, because if I look back on when we first started tracking, say 10 years ago, standalone golf simulator business is probably less than 20 at that point. Now we're over 100 and continuing to grow. How do you see the future of indoor golf? How do you see it evolving in, say, the next 3 years?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We don't get customers coming in now that say, gee, I've never done this before. More customers are versed at playing indoors, playing when the weather's, not the best outside. So I think it's going to continue to grow. You have the TV league, right? That is clearly reaching a new audience and getting people engaged in playing indoors. So I think it's going to continue to grow.
So then, I guess a final question on the simulator business side. What role do you think having instructors at your facility? I don't know if you offer that. Some do. Did you from the businesses that you talk to, how many do have like a PGA person on staff?
Yeah, I would say probably three quarters, right? It's interesting. Some golf simulator business owners are instructors, right? And then folks like myself, I have a couple of people that teach out of the Haven. They're not like staff. I don't employ them, but contractors that work out of there, and we'll probably get two or three inquiries on our website each week about, hey, I'm interested in lessons, kind of a thing. So it's a good partnership where, we could share new golfers with the teachers, and they bring in some of their own clients, and then they come back and they practice at our facility in the wintertime as well. So
Okay, so let's finish up then with a few rapid fire questions.
okay.
What's your favorite virtual course to play?
I would say, do I have to pick one?
You could pick two.
Two, I would say Arcadia Bluffs and Paynes Valley.
Okay.
So, and I think the Arcadia Bluffs one is because I played it in person, and it represents the playing it in real life. It's very realistic. It's a lot of fun. And then our winter league, we follow the PGA schedule. And that first week of January this year, they canceled the PGA in Hawaii. I think it was in Maui because of weather related issues. So as a fill-in, we played Paynes Valley, and everyone seems to like it. We had a couple of guys a year ago that played Paynes Valley, and they liked it so much virtually, they did a trip down there to go play it.
So then flip it, favorite course to play in real life.
I would say one of the Bandon dunes. I had the opportunity to go out there 10 years ago, and I couldn't pick which one. But maybe the Bandon Dunes course, that I really love that.
I hear that from a lot of people. One thing customers, your customers, would be surprised to learn about running an indoor golf facility.
The time and effort involved, right? It's not just go there, open the doors and let them in. It's replacing the screens, it's putting in new hitting mats, it's the upkeep, it's making sure the cooler is stocked with their favorite beer, all that kind of stuff. And it th there is a lot of upkeep with maintenance. I sort of view my facility as a premier, so always trying to make sure it's clean. We have new screens, making sure the customers aren't using golf balls that have Sharpies on them, so it comes off on the screen, all that kind of stuff. A lot of little things that happen that most customers are sort of oblivious to.
That's a good point. I would never consider the Sharpie issue. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
So last question then. You talked about, your previous career, then you get into this venture. What's the best advice you've received as a business owner with The Haven?
Ooh. I would say, and it's probably not just advice as a business owner, but treat people like you like to be treated, right? Engage with the customer, make them feel welcome at the Haven. There's a lot of places they could go. Know your course listing. People are like, oh, I don't know where to play. Oh, what are you looking for? Oh, you want to play something in the desert? You want to play something near the ocean, the mountains? Make a recommendation and try to help people enjoy it. It's interesting because people will come in their first time there. You can sort of tell maybe they're not the best golfer. Oh, we want to play Pebble Beach. Well, I want them to come back, and if they hit 20 or 30 virtual golf balls into the ocean, they're not having fun, they're probably not going to come back. So I try to steer people away so that they enjoy their time at the Haven and not get frustrated and want to come back.